Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Wishes. We're going to go live in 3, 2, 1. Hit it. Yes, everybody, you heard the man. Don't believe that hype. This is Professor K, and I want to welcome everybody to a brand new Hypocrisy Now. It's another Dr. Rock prescription where we fulfill that need for what's real, powered by the KKMT Radio Network. I know we haven't done this thing in a while. For those of you who have been listening and have been requesting for us to get back on the air, thank you. We appreciate the love always, and ain't nothing changed except the events in the news and the days on the calendar. For all you newbies out there, who are just listening in for the first time, just to let you know what we're doing here. This is just a little satire, a little social commentary, political parody that we do here on usually on Tuesday nights, but we have a special Wednesday edition of it. We just try to make you laugh and make you think, and if we can do those two things, we've definitely done the job. And while I have you here, I just want to direct you to the site. That's www.brandnew.me. That's www.brandnew.me. We don't do it like everybody else. We do this thing brand new. And while you're at the site, I want y'all to take a look at this new book, this brand new book. And I'm gonna give you the title of it. You ready? And it's part of the Urban Renaissance series that was started by Dr. Rock with the book Computer Love. But I'm gonna tell you the title of this book. Its title is Why I Hate Black People. If you could only see yourself through my eyes. Think about that. And what this is a riveting expose of the cataclysmic conditions of the African in America, and also a reaction to the influence of 400 years of systemic racism, and also systematic and damn if I say it, almost effective psychological annihilation of the African in America. So once again, if you want to check out the teaser for that book, go to the site once again. That's www.brandnew.com. .me and click on the top red tab under the Y tab, and you can read the teaser for that book. Once again, it's called Why I Hate Black People. You can only see yourself through my eyes. Also, everybody, if you have any questions, comments, show ideas, kudos or criticisms or anything like that, go ahead and hit us on the email. That's askdrrock@gmail.com. That's askdrrok@gmail.com. So I want to spend all this time talking. I know you guys are really ready to hear what we have to say here on Hypocrisy Now, part of the introspect hour and a half. We're starting this thing at 7:30 tonight, and we're ending at 9. And right on the other side of this, we will have introspect. So I want you guys to stay here for the whole 90 minutes. And on the other side of this little theme music, we're going to have the new and improved, brand new Hypocrisy Now. Listen to what the man's saying.
Good evening. Here at Hypocrisy Now, we brought you such classic hits as This Moment in Presidential History and Fake Conscious Negro Orders a Pizza. And now, we proudly present to you Fake Conscious Negro Trying to Talk to a Woman. Enjoy.
Say, excuse me. I just want to wish the greatest of hoteps to you, my superfluously bosomed and bottom sister. Look, I just want to expatiate my hand to you and give you my most gingivitis of greetings. You see, my name is Marshawn True Luck Ebenezer to the third power squared multiplied by 7. Look at here. Allow me to circumcise my reasons for approaching you this loquacious evening. I just wanted to know, how can a brother whose sans solvency be down with such an ambidextrously beautiful sister such as yourself? What you mean, girl? You better look them words up. I know them words mean exactly what I say they supposed to mean. Indubitably. Oh, I get it. All right, then you see, I get that. See, you, that's what's wrong with some of y'all sisters these days, man. Y'all, you ain't ready for a young brother of my tenacious plenitude and my overall specificity in this modern world. Okay, I got that. Hey, look here, I ain't mad at your sister. I still want to wish to you the quintessentiality of the very similitude that is the rest of your evening. Shim, mushroom, hotep, no chase.
Look here, you're calling me on my day off. Someone had better be in jail, or someone had better be dead, or somebody better be over to my house with a large sack of money. Who are you, and what do you want?
Hey, Damon, man, look, it's Thomas, man. What's going on?
Thomas? Oh, hell no. What do you want? Look, man, you need to hurry this up. I don't have all day.
All right, look, okay. I'll make this quick. Look, I need some advice, okay?
Well, I have some advice for you. You need to take a shower before you put on your deodorant.
Look, will you for once be a grown-up? I'm trying to come to you for advice as a man. You don't have to be like that.
Well, it's about time you went somewhere as a man.
Okay, whatever. Okay, look, listen. All right, I need to make this quick because my girlfriend is in the shower and we're about to get ready to go out in a little while.
Girlfriend? Well, you have a girlfriend? I always thought that you were gay.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the KKMT radio office.
Everybody thinks I'm gay?
Yep.
But why would they think that I'm gay?
Well, first of all, it's the way that you dress. You eat those watercress crackers every day at lunch.
But!
And see, there's another thing.
There's what?
Well, there's that high-pitched, woman-like squeal of a voice you have.
My voice? Look, I'm just a very... very sensitive man. Lots of guys are.
Yeah, gay guys. No, but seriously, Tom, old boy, I'm just kidding. So, oh wait, you're telling me that you're not gay? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, being gay.
No, I'm not gay.
Well, okay, look, I'm just retelling a story that was told to me. Aloysius told me that you and Cliff from accounting he saw you on the couch kissing and spooning and kissing. I mean, what? I'm not making this up. I mean, what do you have to say for yourself?
Oh, okay, look, all right, okay. I'll level with you, right? Look, Cliff was choking, and I gave him mouth-to-mouth. I gave him the Heimlich maneuver. I had to give him mouth-to-mouth. I saved his life. It was on the news. I got a medal for it. This was 2 months ago. What are you talking about?
Okay, all right, look, just calm down. Okay, what do you want? I don't have much time here.
Okay, look, I'm running low on ideas for the show, and I just, you know, people seem to like you for whatever reason, and I just want to get some advice as to what should be the next show that I should do.
Okay, look, you know how much you hate Obama so much?
Oh, yeah, I think everyone knows that.
All right, why don't you go wrangle up some people who say they want to take his job as president, and you get them down to the KKMT Radio Network studios, and then you have a roundtable discussion, and then you let them take turns bashing Obama. I mean, everyone in the news is doing it. You know, CNN is doing it. Fox News is doing it. MSNBC is doing it. I even saw some bums around the corner with some signs that said, "We hate Obama," so everyone's doing it.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Yeah, man. Look, thanks. Look, man, I know we've had our differences in the past, but I just want to tell you, I really appreciate this really good advice that you're giving me. And
I don't mean to cut you off, but I don't need people knowing that I talk to you outside of the studio. So we're going to keep this phone conversation short. I'm going to hang up right now, and don't ever call me again. Goodbye.
everyone. Okay, look, this is Thomas C. Lawrence, and we have a very special treat for you this evening. You know, we found some people. You know, Obama isn't the only guy, you know, who wants to be president. We've gone out there, and we found some people, and they want to be president as well. That's right. Barack Obama, you're light-skinned, good-looking, Harvard Law graduating, law review overseeing, basketball playing, hot, long-legged wife having. First black president days are numbered, pal. So we're going to get right into this thing because I'm so excited. I'm drooling at the mouth and jizzing at the tip. Let's see who we have here. I'm just so excited. And we have four people. We have a Mr. Jimmy McMillan of the Rent Is Too Damn High Party. We have Mr. Wilson P. Underbridge. We have I don't really know who this third person is. I'm having a Rick Perry moment. I don't know what the third one is. We're going to go to the fourth one. And the fourth one is a Mr. Brother Shamrock Brohama. That's right. His name is Shamrock Brohama. So anyway, we're going to go around to the people, and we're going to kind of let them tell us exactly why are they here. Ms. McMillan, it's your turn. Go ahead and tell us, why are you here? And speak as clearly as you can, please.
As a karate expert, I will not talk about anyone up here because our children can't afford to live anywhere. Nowhere. There's nowhere to go. Once again, why? You said it. The rent is too damn high. It's a simple message, which I say all the time. Someone say, I'm a one-inch cannon, but it all boils down to one thing. Rent is too damn high.
All right. Don't know. He must have brought his own audience. Don't really know where those people came from. But that's Mr. Jimmy McMillan saying that the rent is just too damn high. I know my rent is always, you know, been high, but you don't hear me complaining. But anyway, we'll go to the next person. This is Mr. Wilson P. Underbridge, and I'm going to give him the floor so he can have his 30 seconds of fame in the spotlight. Mr. Underbridge, can you tell us why are you here? Why are you here?
Well, technically, my name is Wilson T. Underbridge. The P stands for president. Listen, I don't have anything against Obama. Absolutely nothing. I'm actually trying to help him out. You see, I represent America, and it's become quite obvious that this is a place that doesn't appreciate him as the nation's first black president. I mean, think about it. What other president in history has been so disrespected? I mean, he's been called boring, monkey, baboon bomber, a terrorist, the Antichrist, boy, and boy. I mean, George W. Bush was an imbecile. I know. I voted for him twice. I even donated to his campaign. But he was never so harshly criticized as president. So we have to ask ourselves, is this a country that really wants a black president?
Don't believe the hype.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Underbridge, and wait a minute, I know who this third person is. I recognize you. I know who you are. You're that damn Jeff Coat from last time, aren't you?
Look here, boy, we've been going through this before. Now, I'm going to tell you one more time, my name is Mr. Jeff Coat. I'm old enough to be your daddy, and I tell you, if you disrespect me one more time, I'm going to put my foot so far up your behind that you're going to be using the shoestrings for my shoes to floss them yellow teeth that you got there, boy. We've been through this enough now. I'm telling you, Mr. Jeffcoat ain't going to tell you no more.
Look here, Mr. Jeffcoat. First of all, I thought that we had you banned from the building. Your picture is up outside all over the studio offices. How did you get in the building?
I don't know where you've been at, boy, but I work janitorial staff at night. Yeah, Mr. Damon St. Cloud, he hired me, and he gave me keys to everything. And I mean everything. I got all the Oprah's keys. I got the restroom keys. I got the cafeteria keys. You know that? Remember that time you were trying to get in the restroom and you couldn't because it was locked and you wet your pants? That's right, boy. I saw you coming and I went and locked the door. And I remember that day you wet your pants. You had to go home and you come back talking about that you still slip all over yourself. But you and I both know the truth. You wet your pants, there, boy.
Okay. First of all, I did wet suit. I did not wet my pants. And secondly, okay, how do you get keys to everything?
I'm janitorial staff. I got keys to everything. And I did go in your office, clean it up, and you left your drawer open. And, boy, I saw what you had in that drawer. I just want to tell you, you nasty. You need some help. And I'm going to pray for you. I really am.
Okay, anyway, look, enough of that. All right. We have one more person, and his name is Mr. Shamrock Brohama. I'm going to give him the floor and let him tell you a little bit about himself. Mr. Shamrock Brohama, who are you, and why are you here?
All right, first of all, I want everyone to just kind of stand back. All right, I just want to introduce myself. Say, hey, stand back. That's right, stand back there, boy. Look, I want to introduce myself. My name is Mr. Shamrock Brohama, and I'm here today because I have a vision. I have a vision of a better tomorrow where chickens can cross the road and not be questioned about their motives, where what goes up and not have its next direction dictated to it by science, where no other person can temporarily lose objects, but they can find them in the first, third, or even 11th place they look, and not necessarily in the last. Thank you, Brother Shamrock Brohama. That's me.
Oh, goodness, got another nut job loose in the studios. Okay, I don't know why Aloysius and Damon St. Cloud keep letting these folks in, but we got to let them talk because they're paying us a grip. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to say things like that. Anyway, I'm going to kind of streamline this thing and speed it up a little bit, you know, because we have other things to do and, you know, other things to talk about. So each one of you, I'm going to go around, and I'm going to let you tell us what would you do as a candidate if you will become the president tomorrow. If they decide to kick Obama out of the White House and then put someone who deserves to be there, then what would you do as president? Mr. McMillan, we haven't heard from you in a while, so we're going to go ahead and let you go. For the people who are just calling in, we're going to let you introduce yourself. Okay, go ahead.
Allow me to introduce myself. I represent the Rent is Too Damn High Party. People working 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, or some third job. Women can't afford to take care of their children, feed their children breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My main job is to provide a roof over your head, food on the table, and money in your pocket. This is politics as usual. Playing a silly game, but it's not going to happen. The Rent Too Damn High movement, the people I'm here to represent can't afford to pay their rent. They're being laid off right now as I speak. They can't eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Listen, someone's stomach, your child's stomach just growled. Did you hear it? You got to listen like me. Okay.
All right, indeed. Got to listen like him. People, they're just, oh, man, rent's too damn high. You know what? I don't really like black people. And if you've been listening long enough, you know that Thomas C. Lawrence is not a really big fan of black people. But you know what? I'm starting to like this Jimmy McMillan. You should see this guy. Got that handlebar mustache and everything. But, hey, I'm going to go on to the next candidate. Wilson P. Underbridge. The P stands for president or presidential or pee in his pants. I don't really know. But I'm going to give him the floor and let him talk about what he would do and what's his platform if he were to become president tomorrow. Mr. Underbridge, what do you have to say?
Well, here's the thing. You see, remember, I represent America. I represent the true feelings of America, and I don't really need a platform. Remember, America doesn't really want a black president. They never have. The mainstream America, they didn't want a black president. You know this. Come on now. I represent America. You've never seen a president so disrespected as this man right here. So I don't need a platform. All I need to do is just keep my face shaved, dress up in a nice suit, get a nice hairpiece, keep my dentures pearly white, and all I have to do is just say some of the right things. I mean, look at Rick Perry. He didn't know his three-part platform, and he still was in the race because he's a rich pretty boy. Hey, I'm a rich pretty boy, so I figure, why can't I be the next president? I'm a rich pretty boy. I got the money. I got the looks. Do I have the intelligence? I don't need the intelligence because that's what America is all about, the prettiest, richest boy. Holla.
Don't believe the hype.
Okay, we'll go to the next candidate. We're going to go to Mr. Jeffcoat. Did I say that right, Mr. Jeffcoat? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor because I'm going to be honest, you kind of scare me a little bit. So here, just take it.
You better be scared. Well, I told you, we went over this before. You know, I'm here all the time now. You remember that time you came out to your car and you thought somebody was watching you? You say, oh, I feel like I'm being watched. Yeah, that's me impersonating you, boy. You know what? I was watching you. And when you got hit in the head that day with that rock and you thought it was a raindrop or a piece of hail, that was me, boy. I hit you in the head with a rock. I'm always watching you, boy. You never know where I'm going to be. You never know where I'm going to show up. That's why you need to always be on your best behavior. I told you, boy. I'm going to be your daddy. You disrespect me once, shame on you. Disrespect me twice, shame on me. Disrespect me three times, that's my foot in your ass. But anyway, let me tell you what my platform is prejudiced. Now, see there. If I was to become president, first thing I'd do is I'd lower these taxes. These taxes, they just, like Jim McMillan said, I'm going to say it like this. I represent the taxes too damn high party. So these taxes, they're too high. You know, the college kids, they can't pay for their education. They got these high interest loans. You know what the first thing I do? I cancel all usury fees. That's right there. Boy, you don't know what that usury is, do you? At usury, that's them interest fees. See, usury uses like parasites. Well, once upon a time, that was outlawed by all the four major religions of the world. So you ain't no old Jeff Coat knew that kind of stuff, did you, boy? That's right. You always disrespecting Jeff Coat. But I'm letting you know right now, boy, I'm intelligent. I got me an education. I be reading books and stuff like that, boy. But anyway, that's what I said. And now, in welfare, people always talking about welfare. I'm going to tell you something you didn't know there, boy. That girl, that JK, XYZ, ABC, JK Rollins, whatever that girl's name is, the one that wrote all them Harry Potter books about them wizardries and them halls and them watch and all that kind of stuff, boy. Yeah, she was on welfare for 2-3 years to finish that book up. Ain't nobody say nothing to her. But they keep talking about people on welfare, they trying to get themselves a job. That's the first thing I'm going to change. Stop asking people about welfare, because you have a whole bunch of people on welfare, and you're only harassing, them black folk. So, but yeah, if I was the president of the United States, that's what I do. Now, you, as far as you talking about, you ain't going to take this kind of talk to me, but you're going to take it like a man. You're going to take it like a man.
Okay, I guess I will be taking it like a man. I'm so ashamed to have to admit this on the air. But folks, we have one more person we're going to let talk, and that's Mr. Shamrock Brohama. Mr. Brohama, not Obama, but Brohama. Mr. Brohama, what would you, excuse me, I'm a little scared right now. Jeff Coat is staring at me right now. He's getting up and coming towards me. Okay, security just escorted him out of the building. Okay, oh, goodness. Anyway, what would you do if you were president, Mr. Shamrock Brohama?
Well, if I was president, stand back, I'm talking. I want you to get hurt by the sound of my voice. Stand back. If I was president, I promise and guarantee these things and these things only. Number one, I promise a microwave / dishwasher / washer dryer in every apartment, free of charge. Number two, I promise a tooth in every baby's mouth. That's right. Number three, I promise a book in every school backpack. Four, I promise a stick of cocoa butter for every pregnant woman. Let's be honest, fellas. We don't like stretch marks. We just say it's okay because we're smarter than they think. Number five, I promise free pornography on every college student's laptop, provided that they're at least 18 years of age, of course. Number six, a lifetime supply of those little twisty things. You know those little sticks for your window blinds? It's hard as hell to try and open and close them blinds without them. You know what I mean? And last but not least, I absolutely promise and I solemnly swear to provide a bullet in every ass that tries to stop me. Thank you, Shamrock Brohama, and I'm out. Oh, okay. That was a riveting piece of rhetoric, or whatever you want to call it, from Mr. Shamrock Brohama. Anyway, folks, we're running very much low on time here, and so we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Go ahead and cue that music and take us out of here. Thanks.
That's right. That's a little bit of what we do. Boy, if
Hypocrisy Now. Like I said, we're gonna make this, you know, gonna make this quick. Just, you know, just try to be a little funny. Just kind of keep it lighthearted for the first half hour. But I'm gonna make these last remarks quick because honestly, I'm really excited to get to the other side of this thing and start talking about this show topic and about this book with one and only Dr. Rock, and he's gonna give you a little bit more information about what we're gonna be talking about on the other side of the show. But I am gonna tell you, like we always tell you here at Introspect and Hypocrisy Now, we want you to just keep your ears clear. Keep your eyes open and just make up your own damn mind, because we are bombarded with 30,000 images a day and countless other pieces of information. Just make up your own damn minds and just remember that you're living in this hypocrisy right now. I'm Professor K. We'll be back with Introspect. Thanks and peace.
The blackness. Keep on.
And so it was, right at the beginning, when God and man set forth dominion and order, was the legacy of the Oba. And now that we are here, in the 33rd Kemetic Dynasty, for the line of the Oba must never end. And so it was. And my shaman did speak these words. Let it be known that we come from a place where God Hapi dwelt, at the foothills of the mountains where the two moons meet. Shemhotep. Make sure to chime in to another Dr. Rock prescription, where we fulfill your need for what's real. Join us at Introspect. Come take the journey.
That's right. Here at the KKMT Radio Network with the Dr. Rock. Professor K was doing his thing on Hypocrisy Now. We're going to chime you right in because we got a hot show for you tonight. Oh, what you say? Are you looking for me? Yeah. Or what?
Right here.
Somebody said you was looking for me. I'm right at the same place right here at the KKMT Radio Network every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. That's 8 p.m. Central Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's how we do the damn thing. Because Professor K, want to bring you in doing that parody on Hypocrisy Night. You was the bomb tonight. You was in rare form. Now, boy.
Oh, yeah. It's an award-winning satire. I say award-winning because I make my own awards and hang them up in my basement.
But that's how you win. You win, but you're winning every time like that. You're winning every time.
Yeah.
You know, and you will be getting the Mandingo Warrior Award for tonight. Straight up.
That's the one I've been waiting for.
Straight up across the street eating scrimps and strawberries.
That's the one I've been waiting for.
You're going to win. See, we got to pay you in chicken dinners, but you're still winning.
You can pay chicken, you got to pay me in gum, too.
Well, yeah, we'll throw some gum in there, too. We'll throw some gum so you have something to chew on. Didn't want to go there, but you took me there. You took me there. So, okay. Hey, we want to welcome everybody to tonight's show. Tonight's kind of a provocative show. We kind of going to work in my new book with a concept that my host came up with, my co-host there, my partner in crime, because he can't rhyme. But he came up with a nice little concept. I'm trying to remember how exactly that went. How is it about black people being in love with themselves? Can you spit that for me?
Yeah, it's just basically, we're the only people, I think, in this country, we're the only group of people who were vilified for basically loving our own kind. We get out, you know, if you get our hair cut twisted or done a certain way, it's intimidating. If we, you know, go on about, you know, African history, African culture, it's off-putting to people. Basically, America's got no love for black people who love being black and who have no reservations about expressing it. There's always some kind of backlash. There's no other culture who gets that, you know, not as much as we do. You know, every other culture, they have something within this nation that at least in a great part, it lets them embrace or even joins them in embracing their culture. Jewish people,
yeah.
Hispanic people, particularly Mexicans, the Asian culture. You go a little bit past Bel Air, the signs turn red, and it's all in Mandarin.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
You know, so we don't have anything like that.
Yeah, I think the text you sent me, black people that love themselves get no love from America.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's something contradictory about that, but it's very true. And you're right, most cultures, they revel in the fact that, you know, these cultures have something to bring to the table, and they're not threatened by that. But there's something about that black and white thing. It's about as simple as black and white, guys. And it doesn't take that, you know, you don't really have to study that hard to figure it out. Those are the two extremes, and you know, we flip the script. We'll probably get back to where we started from and where we need to be. But if we don't, we continue down this road. Again, we like them dumbass sheep headed over the end of the cliff. We won't pick our head up and look what's coming up next. We're just going to follow, you know, this subcultural psychotic Judo-Christian satanic. I'm just going to say a whole bunch of bad things. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad for them, but it's bad for us. And we got to figure it out. We got to, you know, figure out a way that we can make it right for ourselves. And ergo, the introduction to Dr. Rock's new book and the introduction to the Urban Renaissance. Title of the book, what's the title of that book again, Professor K?
It's called Why I Hate Black People.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yes, him did.
Oh, Lord. So you can start some stuff, man.
I think him did.
Now you sound like one of them characters you do, man. Something's wrong with that picture.
Yes, it did. He did it.
He said it just like that, huh?
Just straight like that.
In front of the G to the O to the D, in front of everybody.
In front of everybody and a dog, too.
What was that subtitle?
If you could only see yourself through my eyes.
Okay, I get the balance now. There's a little balance in that. Well, let's go ahead and get some feedback. We'll start talking about what the book is about. And that diaspora and the actual situation you were talking about earlier. Let's get that high-yielding brother from another mother on the line. 832-546. Hi, yellow brother.
Hey,
from the mother.
I don't know if I should be on this tonight. It's about black people. I don't know, Dr. Rock.
That's what I'm saying. You qualify to be calling in tonight? Do you have an NAACP call?
No,
can we verify that?
He needs to call in. Wait. He needs to call in at 8:30, halftime.
Yeah, exactly. Anglo moment. We call it the Anglo hour.
Yeah, let him call in at 8:30. Let him get halftime. Give him halftime.
Yeah. In other words, can you verify your NAACP card?
Oh, no, I cannot, Dr. Rock. I did
That's
not
what I'm
have
talking.
One.
I know that. I wish you had called in earlier and listened to that parody about those different guys that want to be president, since Mr. Ayers is going to be running for the presidency of these United States guys, and it ain't no joke. Go ahead, before we get in the show, go ahead and tell them a little bit about what you're doing over there at the Utopian Party. Okay, Mr. Ayers, did we lose him?
Yeah, okay. I lost you. Hey, Dr. No, but I just wanted to comment on your book, Why I Hate Black People.
No, sir, we asked you to go ahead and give us a little spill about what you're doing over there at the Utopian Party. Professor K did a parody on a couple of guys that were running for the presidencies, and we wanted to get a legitimate candidate for the president of the United States, one of our candidates here in Houston, Texas, with a brand new political party called the Utopian Party. Now, give us a little overview right quick.
Well, first of all, Dr. Rock, I want to say thank you for everything. You've helped me put together the Utopian Party, and you and I brainstormed on it. The Utopian Party is a new party. It's a party that represents the 99%ers. We have been used by both parties since we can remember, and nothing has changed. The Utopian Party stands in the gap for those that have been mistreated, those that have been ignored. The constituencies haven't been heard by either the Republicans or the Democrats. They seem to be only hearing the 1%ers. My candidate.
I wonder why that is.
Thank you, Dr. Rock. I wonder why that is, sir.
It's all about money and the damn thing's funny.
Again, Dr. Rock, I like that.
Hey, it's all about money and a damn thing funny in the land of milk and honey.
Correct.
Straight up.
Correct. Straight up. Hopefully, I will be making my announcement before the 10th of March, because it's time for people to see an individual who have been through the same struggles as they have from the bottom up, instead of looking at the top down. You can't fix a leak if you're above it. You can only fix it if you're underneath it.
Right. Give us an idea of what your platform is like.
Oh, Dr. Rock, you're going to give out that secret? I don't want anybody using it, because, you know, they do use it quickly, Dr. Rock. One of the things I will be talking about on my platform, Dr., is as a honorably discharged veteran of the United States Air Force, we have a problem with our homeless heroes here in America. And for those of you that don't know who the homeless heroes are, they are our veterans. They are men and women who have served in uniform and to give you and I the rights and the liberties and the pursuit of happiness that we have. Our government has turned the other cheek. Shame on us. Shame.
Yeah, I agree. We have to have some options in this situation. You know, and if we don't, that's why we're pretty much – you know, caught up in that, you know, basically just being complacent with what we get, as opposed to, you know, what we deserve. Because we deserve a lot more. We really do, guys. You know, we deserve to truly enjoy the liberty and the sovereignty of this new land that supposedly is home of the brave and land of the free. Who, not me? Maybe I ain't free yet. Maybe the doctor is free. They let me on the radio, let me on the internet radio to do my thing. And the Professor K, it's about all the freedom we're going to get. We might be broke as a joke, but we're doing the damn thing anyway. Dr. Rock is going to be kicking off 2012 a brand new platform called the Urban Renaissance, very much similar to the Harlem Renaissance, except for, of course, we have a totally different way of saying and speaking to the conflicts, the challenges, and all of the other issues that face the African in America today and the in this millennium. Again, there's no County Cullens out there. There's no Langston Hughes or Zora Neale Hurston's left. And we have to continue to spread the word to get our perspective out there for the next 20 years, 30 years, 50 years down the road for them to understand exactly how we perceived this particular time and space. And that's what this book is about. Why I Hate Black People, of course, it's not a negative book at all. In fact, it's a book that basically speaks to the positive things about being black. Of course, we have some issues. And I don't know if you guys are probably, most of you guys are not as old as Dr. Rock is, but back in the days in the country, my mom used to, when the weather was changing, it was getting cold, she'd line us up, and she'd have this ugly little mason jar. And this mason jar used to have some old black, yucky, sticky stuff in it, and we'd have to line up and take a couple of big tablespoons of it, and my sisters would always be pushing back. And old Dr. Rock would, step forward and take his medicine like a man. And my mother would always give me my kudos for that. That's my baby. He's taking his medicine like a man. Well, the African in America is sick. And it's time for us to take our medicine so we can get better.
Better. Say it again, Dr. Rock. Say it again.
Yeah. We got to just own up to our faults, come up with some solutions, and we got to move forward. I think the problem is today, of course, Dr. Rock likes to always say, against and amongst so many learned and educated individuals, surely we must have the answers. I was appalled by the fact that we had to bail out GM, General Motors, with all these educated and learned men, and it wasn't about, resolving them. They should have known better making Tahoes and Suburbans when we allowed the Japanese to come over here, the Chinese come over here and make the Orientals, whoever, come over here and make Toyota Tercels. Gas was going up, and we should have saw that coming. We should have been on top of our game. However, America is about the land of pacifism and opulence, and that seems to be our problem. Our own greed is pretty much going to be the reason for our own demise, as it was in Rome. Too much freedom is not a good thing, guys. Dr. Rock said that. Too much freedom, it creates a lackadaisical, pacified society that is not good for anything and anybody. But again, this book is tied to a concept that we like to call here at Brand New Media, the urban renaissance. In fact, I think Mr. Ayers is also working on a piece, a literary book that's going to be a piece of the urban renaissance called New Bloods. You want to give us a brief overview of that, Mr. Ayers?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Rock. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. New Bloods will deal with the coming revolution in America, the quiet undercurrent. Those of us that are the 99%ers, we see it coming. We see it coming. You're either going to be on the patriot side or you're going to be on the lawless side. We all must remember one thing. This country came about in a revolution, and if things are to change for everyone, another revolution must begin. Choose your side.
Yeah, and I know we'd use that word kind of all willy-nilly, but revolution simply means, changing your mind. It doesn't mean guns and blood and bullets and all that. Just change your mind, and hopefully your ass will follow. But sometimes we got to get that first part down. And if we do so, I think we're going to be all right. Why I Hate Black People? Come on now. We got to be real. Let me just say this. First of all, I'm not going to, Dr. Rock is not here to put anybody down. But, and I know there are a whole bunch of other black people, a lot of new books out coming out by well-educated people. I'm just going to let you know, Dr. Rock is not, I don't have a degree. No, I'm not a PhD, And yet I'm not stricken with some Eurocentric indoctrination either, and trying to spout some pseudo-Negro mentality through a black face. Dr. Rock is, like Mr. Ayers was speaking, about the 99%. I'm one of them. I'm one of you. Yeah. And that's what the advent of technology has brought forth, the ability for us to have a voice. And that's why you don't hear these people on my show. I'm not going out there trying to get people that you already heard, you already know, you already seen, they've been everywhere. I'm about giving an opportunity and being a vehicle for those who don't have a voice. That's what the KKMT Radio Network is all about. And that's why, you know, you hear, when you come here, you hear fresh voices, fresh people with fresh ideas and concepts. And not, you know, just, you know, intellectual masturbation. It's not productive, and it's not doing us any good. We have to, again, I'm not putting down those quote-unquote pseudo-Negroes who teach at Princeton and, you know, these Ivy League schools and Stanford University who, when females have to pontificate on the incarceration of black men and speak for 2 hours and never mention that that African in America that they're talking about is a man and it's coming out of a female voice, something's wrong with that picture. You know, we got to get real with this thing, guys. You know, we gotta call that duck a freaking duck. You know, instead of calling it something else. Again, on Computer Love, we have some options to talk about why people sometimes, I guess, wanna, you know, they wanna dress a certain way, they wanna act a certain way, yet be in total denial about who the hell they are or what they're projecting. You can't continue to do that. You know, I think the comedics used to say, "Know thyself." But your boy Billy Shakespeare used to say it most poetically when he used to say, first and foremost to thine self be true. Because if you can't be true to yourself, what the hell good are you to me? But back to the book. We're going to come back to Mr. Ayers in a minute, but back to the book. The book is very exciting, guys. It's very, guarantee you, we're going to be doing some talk shows. We're going to be getting some, you know, some information out there. We're going to be marketing the book. The book will probably be out and ready for purchase next week. And what we want you guys to do is just go to that old www.brandnew. That's www.brandnew. That's nu.me. Go to that that site. That's the marketing site of Dr. Rock, Brand New Media, brandnew.me, and hit that Y question mark tab right there on the old navigation bar. Pull up a piece of that book. You can read the teaser right there. You can read a little excerpt, and, you know, you get a, kind of get a feel. Click that old PayPal button so Dr. Rock can buy his baby a new pair of shoes. You know, it's all about making some money here, paying the bills and stuff, and staying on top of, you know, staying on top of the game. Some of the chapters in the book, Education Nation, basically we're saying it up front, education is a joke. It's a freaking joke. I think Mr. Ayers put out some pretty scary quotes last week, or last Wednesday, a couple of Wednesdays ago when we did a show on the Utopian Party, that America is now somewhere 13, 18 nationwide as far as education. And in the early 1960s or late early 70s, we were number one.
Sure was.
Yeah, we were number one. Now we've fallen off where these other, and that's because we've become pacified. You know, everything has turned into just getting an education now. It's just become a business. Everything now is just about making money and not truly educating the people. The only thing we're doing at this point is indoctrinating people about more Eurocentric concepts and making sure they think the way we want them to think as opposed to understand the process of thinking, which is called logical deduction. We haven't gotten back to that. Professor K also made a very profound statement on education. You know, we just kind of, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, from we're worried about the kids cheating on these standardized tests. I was, I think, in the book I quote, I give reference to the scandal in Atlanta, where we had the teachers were caught cheating. You know what I'm saying, guys? Caught cheating. You know, helping the children on standardized testing, simply because, you know, I think their pay bonuses are somewhat connected to those school grades. So Education Nation is one of the chapters. Relationships, which is what we deal with on Computer Love. You know, again, we got to connect our families back together. Ever since the movie James Earl Jones and
Diane Carroll,
beautiful lady, beautiful lady. They've taken general assistance, quote-unquote, welfare, and when they gave it to us, they again change the whole concept. You know, every time they, you know, they do something for us, it has a different taste, and it's kind of hard to swallow. So we got a good a chapter in there about them pimping ass preachers. Watch out, guys. Watch out. I mean, we're just going to give you an overview because we're going to be doing some other shows about the book. In fact, we're going to be doing a series about the Urban Renaissance and also Dr. Rock's book club called The Black Rose. And we'll be talking more about it. But them pimping-ass preachers. Eddie, can I go get a loan from Eddie Long?
A loan from Eddie Long?
Long, can I get a loan with Eddie Long? You know, he might try to take my virginity, huh?
I'd say the interest might be a little too steep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I got to get a brother, you know, to get a loan. You know? I could probably get a Rolex watch, but I got to do some strange things for a little change. You know, something's wrong with that. We ain't got to worry about the preachers trying to take our wives and our young girls now. They're taking our sons. Help me, Jesus. Take me now, Lord. Take me through the sunroof. What's going on, man? Do you know that man was making $1 million? His salary was $1 million a year? $1 million. You think that brother could get a job making that kind of money? He can't even preach. Now, Dr. Rock, I name a myriad of preachers from the Jim Jones, Tammy and Jim Baker, even this guy up there was up in New York what was that guy in New York that got caught in a hotel recently out of Orlando. He had a big church in Orlando.
No, sorry, that's somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, I got his name on. I'll take a Tim, Zachary Timms. He was a pretty boy preacher, and they found him in a hotel, you know, and I think he had lost his wife behind some hooker. I guess it was all right for him to fall in love with a hooker. That was another Dr. Rock show. So, but anyway, yeah, it's just about, you know, we got to try being a little bit realer, and in the end, we're going to come up with some solutions. But them pimping-ass preachers, man, they tearing us up, dude. I mean, they just ripping us a new one, guys. And I'm not sure if we down with the okey-doke or we just too dumb to see. I'm just not sure. You know, inquiring minds want to know. You know, I mean, are we actually that caught up in this whole thing? We got another piece in there, another chapter called, it's called The Gangs. And Dr. Rock calls the gangs, we call that the extended family. Because we understand that the gangs are basically young men pretty much turn to the gangs because they're pushed away from their families. And unfortunately, the family unit has been redefined. We thought we were educated enough to do that also, good white folks. They redefine everything. The family unit, according to the good white folks today, is basically a woman and her kids. And damn for the man. You know, he's not even a part of that dichotomy anymore. He's not a part of the concept of the family unit. Again, 50% of African American men are incarcerated on parole or probation, and we are truly the minority within a minority. So that 13th Amendment we were talking about that the other day, Mr. Ayers and myself, the 13th Amendment did abolish slavery. Except for reasons of what?
Criminal
incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they're using it for. So now they're enslaving black men under the pretense of that the drug wars. You know, so we just gotta figure this thing out. We gotta do better if we wanna get better. And if we don't, then we're probably not gonna ever be better. Simple as that, guys. But the doctor wants to appreciate and remind you guys, all you got to do anytime you need some help, if you need to start a new business, you want to get some graphic work done and get it. You know, I got a new partner. We've been running a campaign about these cheesy websites. So if you want to get you a fresh new look, you know, a vibrant website, give us a hit at that www.brandnewnu.me or just give us a call. The contact information is on the site. Pick up a copy of the book and you know, just stay in touch with us. We got a myriad of projects and concepts coming down the pipeline. The Urban Renaissance is just one of them. But this Why I Hate Black People, we're going to be doing some interviews here locally in Texas and other places. Back to that gang thing that, you know, I mean, what happens when that young boy is, you know, he's pushed out the house when he's 13, 14, or 15 because mama's baby just disrespected mama? What does mama do, Professor K?
Oh, is she the young man?
Yeah, what does she do with him?
Oh, man, she might put him out, call the police on him.
Yeah.
You know, turn them over to the so-called authorities. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not everybody.
That's how he gets caught up in the system. Mama love you so much, she's going to call the popos on you. Yeah. She expects you to press the digitate at 18 and become a man when you've had no examples about being a man.
Man, thank you. Say it again, Dr. Ross. Say it again.
You don't know nothing about it. She lets you sit in your room with the door closed and four-day-old pizza up under your bed playing Xbox, and she out there cutting the grass, or she got some Spanish guy cutting the grass. And all of a sudden, when you turn 18, this light's supposed to go off in your head, and you're supposed to know now that I'm supposed to be responsible, and I'm supposed to be willing to sacrifice myself to help others, which is what a man has been a man is all about. But we live in an equal society. So maybe he feels like, you know, Mom, you know, you're equal to me, Mom. Cut that grass yourself. You know, we created a monster.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't keep one. Women seem to want to have it both ways. We can't do that, guys. You know, and unfortunately, they just want what they want. That's that insatiable nature that they seem to have, and we got to fix that. We got another chapter in the book called Race Matters, similar to the book. You're right, Race Matters. Does race matter? Race is governed. Race is political. Everything. They say, oh, he want to play the race card. You better. How many times do you think you can walk your black face into a corporate boardroom of Anglos and not be noticed as a black man or a black woman? Oh, because you got a couple of degrees and because you scrape your face with a razor and you talk like that. Come on, guys. On a real tip, you can sell out all you want to. Eventually, you're going to have to come home. Juice, OJ, Michael Jackson. You know, we did a show on Michael Jackson, didn't we, Professor K?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was the first ever introspect.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, and we have to
act.
Yeah, I think we gave him his props. We all know that Michael Jackson is probably the greatest entertainer of our era. However, there was something about Michael Jackson that said, I don't love Michael Jackson. He had enough money to change himself, and he attempted to do so. That's, I remember the movie I always talk about, is it We Three Kings or Three Kings? I think it's We Three Kings with Wahlberg and Ice Cube. They were in the military over there in the Middle East, and that one of them got captured. Mark Wahlberg got captured, and the captured the guy who was asking Mark Wahlberg, he said, "What did you guys do to Michael Jackson?" And he says, "What do you mean?" He says, "I mean, what did you guys do to Michael Jackson? What does a country do to a man to make him want to change his face?" That's a deep question. What does a country do to a man to make him not like what he sees in the mirror? And we're speaking to you, Obama, because every year, introspect is supposed to be dedicated to Obama this entire 2012 year. What does a country do to a man that makes him want to change his face from black to white? I have a $60,000 question out there. I can't ask Mr. Ayers because he's already there. But, Professor K., you ever wanted to be white?
Ever wanted to be white? You mean in terms of
I know you pontificate kind
live.
Of good too.
Yeah, I know. You actually want to live in that world, or just want to go and then come back, mean permanently?
Well, no, I mean, you know, as a young
man, just to see.
Yeah. Have you ever wanted to be white?
I mean, not wanted in terms of I want to be, but curious. Like, you know what? I wonder how is the living on the other side.
Right.
For someone in my same condition, same position, if I were, you know, in college, early 20s, you know, had a little, where I felt a little intelligence and a little drive on my side, how would things be for me if I were, you know, living in that other world?
Yeah.
I wanted
exactly.
that.
No, what do you got to say about that, Mr. Ayers?
Well, I can say this, Dr. Rock. If you look, and this is coming from the heart, if you look at America as a whole, every nationality that comes over here, the Asians, the Middle Easterners, the Eastern Europeans, they all have this "I got to be white" complex. Okay. And you can see the tradition has taken effect.
Right.
Back in the early 50s and 40s and 30s, if you want a government job, you had to be what? Light-skinned, light-complected to open the door for the darker ones, correct?
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Our country has a propensity to make people feel that white is the only right way to be. If you're not white, then you did something wrong. And as our country becomes more intertwined with multiracial birth, different aspects of our culture is changing, where it's not, you still need to look white, but as long as you got the stringy hair and you're almost white, you're good. But as long as you got the dark complexion with the nappy hair, hey, stand outside the back door.
Yeah. Well, now let me ask you this, because you're a mulatta. You are the offspring of a white father and a black mother.
Yes, sir.
Do you consider yourself white?
You know what, Dr. Rock? That's a question that has been posed to me since sixth grade.
Yeah.
And you know what, Dr., I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't know. I hang out. I mean, I deal more with African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do business with Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some reason they accept me. They open the doors for me. They do whatever, you know, they welcome me into their circles.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say I have the best of both worlds by the grace of God.
Okay.
And if I had to be one or the other, I don't think I would choose. I think I would stay just where I am.
Exactly. But scientifically, you're a black man.
Oh, of course I am. Oh, definitely.
Undeniable.
And they never let me forget it.
You don't forget it when you see your lips.
You're so right about that.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's genetically impossible for less than 5% of interracial marriages to be anything other than still be black. The black gene is dominant. The white gene is recessive. Therefore, when Dr. Rock or any other black man gets with a white lady and they have 10 babies, 9 of those babies are still going to be recognizably black.
Thank you. When you do an application, you check African American.
Well,
you know?
Some people have. That's a big question now. A lot of people are trying to, they're trying to put different categories and different classifications on specific applications, especially with the U.S. Census, to give them more options. But, I mean, that's a part of that pacified thing, because they definitely don't want to say that you're black, because we wouldn't be minorities anymore in America. It's almost a fad now, the mixtures of the races. It's almost a fad. It's like, you know, wearing baggy jeans and having an iPhone. We got 504-470-504-470. You're on the KKMT Radio Network with the Dr. Rock, and we're talking about my new book, Why I Hate Black People. Have you ever wanted to be white?
No way.
No way. You
no,
sure,
never,
surely you just.
No.
Let me chime in right quick. The doctor, when I was a young boy, I'll be honest with you guys, I was pretty much raised in an integration situation since about the eighth grade. We moved into the suburbs, and I think the only friend I had was a little boy next door, and he was a little white kid. And, I mean, it took us a couple of years just to get to that point. But I can remember wanting to be white. I can remember I can remember wanting to be exposed to the world of a white man and to be privied with the amenities that were rendered to white people, because they were unlimited. And I knew as a young black boy, a lot of things were going to be held away from me and taken and used against me. So I did. I thought that it would have been easier for me to live the life of a white man as opposed to life of a black man. Now you 504, you say you never wanted to be, wait now. Ain't you from Louisiana?
I'm from Louisiana. Boy,
y'all don't know who's who down there. Because, you know, they all mix. That's the home of the mulatto, isn't it?
I don't know anything about any. I think my great-great-grandfather may have been white.
Okay.
But I've never wanted to be white.
Okay.
I never dated outside of my race. I'm happy with being black.
Okay. But have you ever been exposed in that kind of an arena? I mean, like, sometimes I think in the early 70s, when black people were moving to the suburbs and we were exposed, a lot of us converted. You know, a lot of us went from, you know, our R&B to Led Zeppelin. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah. Mr. Ayers sent me some music the other day by, I think it was the Muse.
Yeah, the Muse, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I can remember doing listening to a lot of the Beatles, you know, Pink Floyd, you know, a lot of RME, REM, whatever it is, you know, all those groups. But
like,
let me ask
now
you this. Go ahead.
Like now I listen to a little country, you know,
right.
Like Carrie Underwood and Taylor Swift and stuff like
exactly.
that, but
yeah, the Judd girl, sister and mother. Yeah, I like the Judds. You know, I like, yeah. But what I'm saying is that we were talking about the Michael Jackson syndrome. What was it that wanted to, why did Michael Jackson want to turn himself white?
I don't know what happened to Michael Jackson. I really and truly don't. I think that the way he was raised and being denied a childhood, and dealing with that world exposed to a lot of Caucasian that, you know, were in the money or whatever. I don't know. I really don't. But I'm not a Michael Jackson fan.
Yeah. He used his money. He used his money to change his face, his body, his complexion. And that was a method to the madness now. I mean, in fact, he went from a black man to, I think he passed white up and went somewhere
else.
Didn't
he have some kind of sickness or something, a skin disease or something?
Oh, yeah, he tries to blame it on vitiligo, but no, that wasn't it. You know, he didn't have vitiligo all over his body, and that's not true. That was just another excuse, like them three babies he got there trying to get some of his money is his. And I'm going to say this. I don't care how much he changed himself. He couldn't change his genetics.
Right.
And those three kids that he left here on this planet, Blanket, Pookie, and whoever else.
Prince, little Prince. Something.
Asper or whatever the hell, you know. I don't care what. They still would have had an afro and a broad nose had he actually.
For real.
Yeah, had he actually,
he
you know, made those babies
myself.
The old-fashioned way. You know how we say the old-fashioned way, bang, bang,
right.
bang, 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 bang. Instead of inseminating.
Before he went under the knife, I thought he was a very handsome fellow.
Exactly. And it's just proof scientifically that those kids are the results of a donor, sperm donor, and a recipient, a surrogate mother. It's obvious. Otherwise, they would have what? Michael Jackson's broad nose and his afro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Jacksons had the best fro of the 60s.
They showed
sure
you.
Them boys had some big old fluffy fros that blew in the wind. Hey, compliments to Joe Jackson and their mama. She had some pretty hair. You know,
they had pretty hair.
Yeah, they had. So, you know, now let's go over my book right quick, Why I Hate Black People. What do you think about that title, 504?
Why do I hate black people? I'm looking forward to reading it. They have a lot of black people that hate black people.
Yeah. And see, that's the immediate reaction. But now, if you read the subtitle, what was that subtitle again, Professor K?
You could see yourself, if only you could see yourself through my eyes.
You see, that kind of softens it up. Because the title is just a marketing term. Because believe me, Dr. Rock is going to say it. Don't nobody love black people out there more than Dr. Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my passion is. I love my people because I love myself.
That's right.
And I tell people, it ain't that I hate nobody else. I just love the shit out of some Dr. Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to waste time hating somebody, you know, because, I mean, I revel in the fact that I'm just cool than a fan. And I meet cool-ass people, and we do cool-ass things together. We're talking about the urban renaissance, where we're going to be having some other authors come in, authors, poets, sculptors, painters, rappers, you know, all kind of different people coming together and working together with Dr. Rock and Brand New Media under the auspices of the urban renaissance. We're really looking forward to that. That's going to be dynamic. And we're looking forward to Mr. Ayers and the Utopian Party. He's running for president. We're going to try to get him on the ballot. We're doing big things here at the KKMT Radio Network. I want you guys to go back tomorrow when your computer is working. I know 504 says she has some computer problems. Go to the website, www.brandnewnu.me. Hit the Dr. Rock tab so you can listen to the beginning of our show tonight. Our show, an introspect, was preceded by Professor K's version of Hypocrisy Now, which is a political satire. And I'm just going to say that the Professor K was in rare form tonight, and we want to give him his kudos because he was literally, guys, tonight, Professor K was the shiznick. And I want you guys to definitely, Mr. Ayers, definitely go back. And you listen to that also because he did some things about the different guys running for the presidency of the United States. And, again, we want to give Professor K his kudos and the Mandinkan Warrior Award for the night. You still ain't going to get no pay raise, so don't be asking for no more money, man.
That's all I was about to say. I said I would take a raise. I would take a bow, but my check too light.
That's the one. If you ain't got to put me out there. Why you going to put me out there like that? You ain't paying you enough, you know? You need to go back to the plantation if the KKTN radio ain't paying you right. No, we love you. We love you, though, Professor K. We love what you're doing. And that's what we're about here. Like I said, we're not going to sit here and promote all the people that are everywhere already doing things. I'm not going to be calling people trying to get them on the air because I want to be the voice of the people who don't have a vehicle. The KKMT Radio Network will be that voice, I promise you. And that's what we do. We will be bringing other authors on. We're going to be bringing in a new show called Club Success about business. We'll probably run the series on the urban renaissance on there, along with other people. We got a marketing guru, Mr. Ayers, just met. She's a public relations lady. Mr. Ayers, can you tell us a little bit about Christy Love? Let's see. Can you tell us a little bit about your new PR person for the Utopian Party? I think it's Christy Love.
Yes, sir. It's Christy Love. She's a dynamic and intelligent marketeer. Christy came to us by way of a mutual friend, Dennis Ford. Her expertise, when we explained to her what we were getting ready to do. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
When she explained to us what, when we explained to her what we were getting ready to do, it caught her breath away. She had never had any, she'd never been in a room with somebody who spoke about running for president. And effectively, immediately, she was like, I mean, she brought 150% to the table. She said, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to do it. And on your tutelage, I mean, Christy Love is dynamic. I mean, she's very intelligent.
She's,
and she's working on, yes, and she's working on something with you. I think you call it No More Cheesy Websites or something.
We're trying to change everybody's concept. Hey, guys, on a real tip, we're going to be talking about this on Club Success, the business show. But, you know, we got to quit asking people to give us $1,000 as clients for products and services when we got a Vistaprint or a GoDaddy website that we're pretty much free and we're looking cheesy. And it's a pizza campaign that we're running. We call it the pizza campaign because, these, you know, no more cheesy websites. You know, invest into your global presence. That's the least you can do to be professional, to be genuine to your clientele. You know, I mean, why would I give you $1,000 and you got a Vistaprint website? I'm not going to. I mean, I'm more intelligent than that. So, you know, we got to get to that level, guys. We got to. Got some new writers, again, the New Bloods, It's going to be a very provocative political piece Mr. Ayers is working on, guys. Believe me, we got a new genre, a new romantic, erotic, boudoir literature writer out of New York. Sister LaPata is going to be doing some things. She's creating a brand new character to guaranteed to drive Zane insane in the membrane. Professor K is going to be still doing that hypocrisy now thinks that's what he do, and he do it good, you know. But we're just going to be kicking this knowledge with you guys Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Possibly we'll pick up a Friday night or a Monday night as long as we ain't got to, you know, compete with NFL football. So maybe we'll start doing a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday night show. All of our shows will probably be aired at 8 o'clock unless we are going to be precluded by hypocrisy now. Guys, also, if you want to also just keep up with what we're doing on our shows, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KKMT radio. And that'll take you right to the page, and you can go to the Dr. Rock page, and it'll show you our show page, the shows that we have upcoming, so that you can, you know, kind of, you know, give people the old call-in number, and you can set some time up so you can chime in. And again, if you missed the show, all you got to do is go to www.brandnewnu.me, and you can hit the Dr. Rock tab right there on the website, and you can just sit back and listen and, you know, do the pros and cons, have, you know, share it with some friends, and you guys sit back and talk about it, and, you know, you can stop it and, you know, have some, you know, some pretty good conversations about relationships, you know, about the social commentary, politics, you know, about business. I mean, basically, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, what else is America about? We're talking about everything. From the Rudy to the Tootie. Go ahead, 504.
I tried to link you up on my Facebook page, but I wasn't able to do that.
Okay.
You'll send me the link?
Yeah, on the Facebook, go to Facebook.com.
Okay.
And then KKMT Radio Network.
Okay.
All together, KKMT Radio Network, and that'll pull up Doc Rock, D-O-K-R-O-K. It'll pull up Doc Rock. Send me a friend request, and we'll hook up like that. 504, we appreciate you. We know you're a new caller. We appreciate you calling in. Hey, again, guys, we're going to be doing a lot of shows, got a lot of things coming up. I appreciate everybody tonight. We will be on the air tomorrow at 8 o'clock with Computer Love, a hot and spicy show. Probably be doing a sequel of Man vs. Bob. Man took a whooping last week. He took an ass whooping. I'm going to put it out there. But he's going to come back. He's going to win against that battery-operated brothers. I want to see you guys tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Remember what the Dr. Rock always says. If don't nobody love you, remember you got to love yourself because that's all you got to do. chiming into another Dr. Rock show at the KKMT Radio Network. We want to bid you love, peace from the soul of man. Good night.